This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood!
Throw. Ball's going to bounce down. It's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, and you're listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. My name is Matt, and on the other end, ready to help bring the green and gold gospel to you tonight, is someone who is never going home, Daniel.
Hello, you're right. Like my tweet said, it's just me, you know, wandering around, drunk, saying I'm going to go home. But not really. Never really going home.
we'll talk about that game in a little bit, just for the heck of it. But surprised by the result?
A little. But the second half was definitely all Croatia. Even before the goal, England did what all teams tend to do and turtle a bit. It's my stepfather is very. Randomly, just to, I think, annoy me, anti-soccer, it's boring. But he called me and was like, what happened? Oh, my God, Croatia, blah, blah, blah. He was watching the game, calling me with questions. And he said England did the NFL's prevent defense, and it prevented them from winning.
My my favorite tweet about the game, I don't remember if you retweeted or someone else did, something about now England has to go deal with Brussels in order to get a result neither side really wants. It's kind of the perfect commentary on the on not just soccer in general for those two countries right now.
Yeah. To not make that any worse, yes.
Speaking of results we didn't want, we'll start off tonight, as usual, going over the last game. Rowdies dropped a decision at home, their second loss of the year. Remember when we didn't lose games at home?
I remember when there was, you know, hope and, you know, and then we had some change and now it's all down the toilet.
I was about to say something, but it could have been considered a spoiler for Ant-Man and the Wasp. So I'm not going to say it.
I mean, yet. I watched the first Ant-Man. I was mad, but I guess I'll go watch this Ant-Man and the Wasp. But I don't know, man. I mean, there's still enough time left to be hashtag, you know, trust the process, especially we got Poku that's coming in, you know, things like that. So there's still reason to believe that we can turn this around and, you know, but things have got to change.
Yeah, Neil said as much in the post-game interview, which, I mean, there's no getting around it, absolutely. But you mentioned yesterday was the big day. I hope you had a blessed Poku eligibility day.
I guess. Well, yeah, yesterday was good. Yesterday was a very blessed Poku eligibility day.
Hopefully this Saturday's even better. I mean, is he going to start? I kind of think he has to.
I mean, he's trained with us for a while. I'm sure he's match fit or at least can put in 60. So I don't see why he doesn't or why he wouldn't.
I'd be very surprised if he didn't. But the Rowdies dropped another game at home to Louisville, fourth place of Louisville at the time. They might still be there. I'm not entirely sure right now. Oh, wait. No, they're in third. I have the standings right in front of me. Yeah, although there are three games going on tonight, too. Rowdies lost 2-1 to Louisville. Louisville opened up the scoring in the 22nd minute with a goal by by Kyle Smith. Yeah. Nice little bit of movement in the box and got by the defense, got past Guinzotti was the guy closest to him, but got in there, got the ball, and put it past Akira for the first goal. Rowdies level it up late, 71st minute. Junior Fleming's goal with an assist from a nice flicked assist from Stefano Bonomo. I'm still not sure if we're saying that right.
I believe we are.
Okay. Miracles never cease. But 5 minutes later, a picture-perfect free kick set piece right outside the box from the leading goal scorer in the East, Cameron Lancaster, gives the visiting Louisville a two to one win. Unfortunately, good, bad, ugly. I'll hop in here and go first. Good, and I really hate to keep saying this one, the not giving up part, because it generally means you've gone down earlier or are losing and are having to get back into it, and it probably means you didn't win, but they didn't. It was an unfortunate free kick situation that led to the free kick near the end. Still had about 15 minutes to get back into it. Had a couple chances. Bonomo looked pretty good when he came on. Like you said, he got the assist for the goal in the 71st. Came on in the 62nd. I think he hit the post within about a minute or two of coming on. He may have actually hit the post twice. I can't remember. But in the end, wasn't good enough. But didn't quit, I guess, Hooray. No one got a yellow, so that's pretty good. No one got a yellow for our side. Not everybody for Louisville did. Four yellows, so Georgie's still available for this weekend. Bad, I mean, it's you can go through the stats, and it kind of tells the story of the game. We were outpossessed 60 to 40%. Had more corners, did nothing with them. Let me get to the kind of ones that stand out to me. Passing accuracy, 85% Louisville, 73% for us. In the opponent's half, 81% to 62%. So we had a real hard time trying to unlock them close to their goal. Crosses, 30-4 with nothing to come out of it. Did you see that stat I sent you earlier, by the way?
Yeah, it was a bit silly.
Yeah, Marcel Schaefer is still leading the Eastern Conference in crosses with 138. The nearest is, I forget what his name is, but he has like 99. And our shots, again, our shot choice, our kind of distribution here. 13 shots total for the Rowdies, 8 shots for Louisville, 5 on target for both clubs, 3 outside the box for us, 7 outside the box for Louisville, 10 shots inside the box and only 5 on target. 10 out of 13 shots and only 5 on target. The accuracy is definitely an issue. The offense is still not delivering when it needs to. Shooting accuracy, 38.5% for us, 62.5%. So 39, 63, whatever you want to round it up for those teams. Louisville was just more effective on offense overall than we were, and it definitely showed. They were patient. They took their time. They took advantage of the opportunities. And we weren't able to convert the chances that we had. One other thing I'm going to throw in there with the good, I thought the Mob sounded great. And I sat down in my regular seat this time down in 111. It sounded a little bit louder, a little bit more. I don't know if there was more people in there or what the deal was, but there was definitely some fire in their bellies on Saturday night. And it was quite easy to hear. Man of the match, I guess you give it to Flemings for getting the goal. Nice flick from Bonomo. He gets on it, puts it away. But other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot out there to give anyone credit for.
I would like to say good was Taking Back Sunday and Coheed and Cambria. I would also like to say my good was that whiskey that was in my belly. the bad was Allie buying a 12-pack of Limaritas, which I'm pretty sure I am taking insulin shots for still. No, again, I didn't actually watch. I didn't go back and watch the match I was going to do today, but England had to go to extra time, so I did that, and then I took a nap, and then made dinner. But looking at the stats, it, you know, I guess you take the free kick aside, like, because you know everybody's told me it was a near perfect free kick. You take that away, and still, would I be okay with a draw? I don't think so. I don't think I'd be okay with conceding in the 22nd minute at home, no matter how good Louisville is. I feel like, and you know, glancing at the stats here, just I know before anybody starts yelling at me on Twitter, I know possession doesn't mean more or mean much, but I think the nearly 20-point disparity, 20%. You know, in disparity in possession at home, like we it was basically 60-40, is something I don't think we've seen in a long time. That we've had that little possession at home, so I think some of that stuff needs to change. But I can't really give a good bag ugly without watching the match. But I do think. We need to step it up a bit, especially at home. And since he is the top team in the league and we're going to visit them, I mean, Poku is great, but can he change everything? So who knows? Screw it. Let's forget that existed. Let's just forget everything. Where is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Let's do that. Let's just erase the first half of the season from memory.
Can we get like that with the flashy thing from Men in Black at the same time, just to be safe?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, just wipe all of it while we've got Inception going on also.
Yes, I think that's what we need to get rid of this year, the first half.
And yeah, going back to your point, like in and of itself, possession isn't necessarily indicative of anything one way or the other. But at the same time, you can't do anything if you don't have the ball. And you know, I know, like when we watched that the Charlotte game, and I was there, you watched it on TV. It seemed like we came out in the first half, and the idea was to defend and you know, kind of get a feel them out, figure out what they were going to do, and then go on the attack in the second half. I really can't remember if that's what we were trying to do in the first half here. But if you're going to be comfortable defending. And conceding the ball to the team, and they're just going to sit there and wait and look for opportunities. And unfortunately, we gave them one way too early, and then that kind of throws that game plan out of whack.
Yeah. You know, we're not the ones that can solve this. But I think Neil has constantly talked about fast starts, and I think the only fast start happened against Toronto. So I don't know what's going on there, but things need to change. And you know, we just said last week on Thursday that it's time to start holding him accountable. Toronto FC 2 is out of our is out of the schedule now, so now results will show what we are. Like, they'll show what we're made of, we'll show where we are. We'll have a measuring stick now. Maybe two or three more games to see fully. Now that I think almost all of the moves are made, except for, you know, the rumored one.
Right.
But so I think it's time to we've had our little which we'll get to a little later, the turmoil of this week. But I think it's time to say all that's behind us. Let's give Neil a couple more games now to see everybody settled in. Everybody's had a chance. Let's do this. That's about it. That's my thoughts going into this Cincy game, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit too.
Yeah. All right. So I threw the stat of the match into the show notes. We haven't really done that much this year, but I'm going to say the one you mentioned, the possession one, the one that really stands out to me. I mentioned this earlier, 10 shots in the box and 5 shots total on target. It's great that you're getting a lot of shots. I mean, that's one of the things we're always kind of here griping about. But if you're in that area, you've got to get that ball on target.
Yeah, that's been like kind of our trouble this year, right? Like, just getting the ball on target.
Amongst others, but yeah.
Oh, wow, you got fancy with the show notes this week.
Yeah, that was a lot easier than just typing a bunch of stuff out.
Yeah, look at you. Level up.
All right. Ding. All right. Anything else we want to say about this match?
No, screw it. Bury it. Flush it. It's done.
One more thing. We did have a – there was a large number of Louisville fans that made the trip down. There was a couple that were that came to Wednesday's game last week as well because they were in town for that long. Got to meet up with some of the members of the Louisville Coopers, did a little scarf trade. And I told you my one biggest regret from this game was not getting a chance because even they pointed it out, like compared to our scarves, their scarves are very short. And I wanted to say, I didn't think about this. The only thing shorter than the scarves are their pitch. And there was about as much grass on the scarf too. So I guess I can say it now and have it count for something, but they were cool. We had a good time. Skyway Casuals grilled up a ton of bourbon chicken skewers that were fantastic. So everything was great before the game, basically.
That's good. I mean, like I said, maybe not for me because I was drinking, you know, Lima-ritas on Allie's couch, hating my life after the second one.
I was doing a little research to because the Skyway guys like to do like grill something that's representative, cook something that's representative of the visiting team. I was trying to see because the next home game is Indy. What's a Indianapolis food? I think we've conclusively ruled out the fried brain sandwich.
Lame.
Yeah, I'm not eating that.
And you say like, I'm picky.
I mean, you are, but you're not eating fried brain either.
No, God, no.
Okay. So we're gonna rule that one out. So I don't know what they're gonna have up in a couple weeks, but we'll see. All right, our current Eastern Conference standings, and this might be a little bit in flux because there are games going on tonight. Cincinnati, our opponent this week, top of the table, 35 points. Pittsburgh, 34 points. Louisville, 29. Indy, 28. Nashville in fifth place with 27. I know they're playing tonight. Indy's playing tonight. Charleston is they're playing tonight, 26 points. Red Bull 2 with 25 points. Penn FC with 25 points. Remember, they were the two that were tied with us last week as the first team out. Well, they're in, and we're now the third team out. Charlotte has dropped down to the 9th spot, sorry. Charlotte with 24 points. Bethlehem with 23. Rowdies with 22. Ottawa right behind us with 21. And North Carolina FC within a game at 19 points.
I like how you don't even have Toronto 2
do what?
On there.
What happened?
You don't even have Toronto 2 on there.
I don't. What, no. Were they supposed to be?
I mean, they are in our conference.
Well, I just do the teams that are kind of near us.
Oh, okay.
That have a chance that would have a chance of catching or passing us in the next week.
Okay. Yeah, because what? Oh, yeah, Richmond's at 17, Atlanta.
Yeah, Richmond 17, Atlanta 14, and Toronto 3. I'm pretty sure Toronto's already eliminated. They might even be mathematically eliminated. I mean, they are eliminated. I don't know if it's mathematically or not, but it's pretty close.
I mean, screw them. I hate them anyway. Okay. Let's move on.
I don't hate them. I want to play them every week.
I feel like that would be bad for us. I'm so down.
I mean, bad for attendance, but we'd get some points at least. All right, so let's move on. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. We put the story out there this week. There's really not a ton to talk about because there's still no statement from the team. But, you know, we've been hit by the injury bug all year. Especially with our defensive players. Now we have a little bit of a self-inflicted injury. Well, in more ways than one. Center back, Ivan Magalhães. I think I might have said that right, totally on accident. Arrested Sunday morning at 5:55 a.m., charged with aggravated battery. When the criminal complaint was posted, it was apparently had struck third string goalkeeper Matias Reynares several times about the face. And that's currently all we have right now. We're still waiting on the team to make some kind of statement or what, but you know, we could be down another defender in the near future. Who knows?
I would like to think we are. I mean, he's me batting 1,000 this year, recently has just congratulated him, you know, like praised him for being one of the solid center backs we've had. And, you know, but at this point, it's not worth it, right? Like, gotta have, got to have some character, especially as family-oriented as this team's supposed to be. You know what I mean? You know, I hate to say it, but just peace, dude. Peace.
Yeah. It would not surprise me, but I'm still, I would say I'm a little surprised. Nothing's been said yet. I don't know if they're waiting on this the other announcement and try and sneak it in at the end of the press release or something. I didn't even put that in there. We need to talk about that one.
What?
Anything else to say about this?
No. Just move along.
So Saturday morning, I think it was, I saw a tweet from, the group that owns Ottawa Fury and then the Ottawa Red Black CFL team, that they had released Kyle Porter, thank him for his contribution, wished him best in all his future endeavors, all the good stuff you say. And I kind of joked to you, hey, man, we could really use Kyle Porter back. That'd be it's not like he's, tore up the league when he was here, but we could use some more bodies, depth at least, in defense. Saturday, we get to the stadium, and we're setting up helping the Skyway guys set up tailgate and getting everything ready. Jesse from the Mob comes over. We're just kind of sitting around talking. We see some of the players walking in, turn around and look. And it's one of those, like, I turned and looked and was like, oh, hey, it's a him. And then turned back and it like hit me like, okay, there's Kyle Porter carrying a bag full of gear, and saw him at the stadium. So I, fully expect, I haven't heard anything yet, but I would fully expect to hear an announcement from the team that, he signed. And actually he can play a couple positions on the back, can he?
I'm pretty sure he's primarily a right back, but I think off the top of my head, I haven't seen too much from Lakowecki, but I think if you play Porter and Lakowecki, which we're pretty much going to have to do if and when Ivan's released, you kind of lose a little bit in the attack. I don't see either of them very much as wingbacks. Kyle Porter, in the Open Cup, I believe, had a heck of a long-distance goal.
It was nearly midfield. He got a nice little bounce that I think tricked the keeper.
It was a heck of a shot. But he, like you said, it was near midfield. So it was just kind of, he doesn't bomb forward too much. I don't know if that was a Stu Campbell thing or what. I didn't watch him in Ottawa too much at all. So
he didn't really get much playing time. It wasn't a whole lot to watch. I think, and then, they put it out there that, he was released. I think that had been in the works probably. I suspect he had probably been down here for a little while before the release was official. I kind of get the feeling.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen with a couple other players recently. Another announcement today. It's official. Hartford Athletic, which I keep thinking is like the, I signed up for that, pay access sports site, The Athletic, and they have different city versions. I keep seeing Hartford Athletic and thinking there's kind of an odd thing that they have their own version of the site up there. But no, it's the Hartford Athletic soccer team coming to USL in the Eastern Conference in 2019. We're going to have the Hambone Derby.
No, he said we're number one. He's responding to tweets telling everybody not to worry. The Rowdies are number one.
I just want him to, like, call the first game. If you ever, and that's, if you don't know who we're talking about, Rob Stone, longtime Rowdies fan, was from Hartford originally, right? Is that's a connection?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so he's, I know he was going to give him a little shout out on the Fox Soccer World Cup wrap up tonight, but that should be a fun game. I've actually, just for the heck of it, looked into flight prices. It's not that bad to go up there. So
I'm boycotting because they're not, like the Whalers or anything to do with the Whale.
At least they're not a Hartford FC or FC Hartford United or some
they
crap like
been
that.
Hartford WC, the Hartford Whale Club,
Hartford Whaling Club.
Yes. Yes. That's what they should have been. And I would have been, they would have been my second, third favorite team besides Rowdy's AFC Mobile. And then I would have Hartford WC.
So that's, Birmingham comes in next year. That'll probably be an Eastern Conference team. Memphis comes in. If they go Central Conference, that might be a Central Conference team. Hartford will be an Eastern Conference team, but they could be replacing basically Toronto FC, two, dropping down to Division III. So starting to get a little bit of an idea of who's going to be around or what's going to look like next year. I might try and go to that game, though. But the other big one, this is still rumor territory. Bob Williams put it out there that the NWSL has approached the USL about basically USL absorbing their league, and because it's operated by US Soccer right now and partially funded by it's like US Soccer, the Mexican Federation, and maybe the Canadian Federation. I know they pay some or all of the salaries for like the national team players in order to get them in that league and have some star power in that league. But it sounds, you know, like there might be, and NWSL might be trying to move. Like USL ran a women's league for a while. I don't think they do it anymore. But this could be pretty interesting. This could be, you know, there's already one USL team with a women's team in North Carolina Courage. This could possibly open up some potential for some of the other USL clubs to start operating women's leagues, women teams as well.
I hope so. You know, I was pretty, I mean, it doesn't really matter on the on Twitter, but I was pretty loud on Twitter when the Breakers were, you know, collapsing, that maybe Edward should have stepped in, bought the brand, moved him down here. But I think they should have, you know, women's soccer should be thriving. I enjoy watching the NWSL. I think if they, you know, if NWSL goes to USL, and we get a team, I will be banging on Bill Edwards' door all hours of the day to sign Tobin Heath.
What if he brings them back as the strikers?
I'm okay with that, actually. Like, I am legitimately okay with it. I that would make me laugh a lot. Hey, at least the strikers would be back, right?
He's got the naming rights and everything already. It could be interesting. Yeah, I guess. The biggest question I have is, you know, there's this funding in place, this agreement in place with the three federations to pay for the salary of some of these bigger star names. Will that go away if this becomes a USL league instead of the way it's operating right now?
Probably, I would say. And I think, you know, that's then up to each franchise, you know, franchise owner or club owner to create a viable system of a salary floor and maybe unfortunately a ceiling for a bit until, you know, they're getting butts in seats. But I think the NWSL has existed enough now where like a cap isn't really necessary, but you should definitely have a floor, like a salary floor. And I think it should, you know, obviously a livable wage for these athletes should be it. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just some hippie.
I mean, at the same time, you still got there's a definite interest, at least from U.S. Soccer, to operate, maybe to still fund some of these players to give them a league to constantly play in and develop in and grow in as well and keep some of them here. I know Mexico started their own women's league, didn't they, recently?
That I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing some posts. I don't know if it how big it is compared to the men's league, but there is a women's league in Mexico, but there isn't one in Canada that I know of. So this could be, you know, you may start seeing it being more of a U.S. Canadian league, similar to MLS and to some extent USL for right now until we see what happens with the Canadian Premier League. If they can make it work and they can keep the level of talent and they can pay them at a rate that makes it, something that these players can keep doing, then I'd love to see it happen. That'd be kind of great.
Yeah, me too.
All right. I talked a little bit last week about possibility of pro soccer coming to Sarasota Bradenton. I did get an update. They had their meetings, and I'm still not sure exactly who's meeting, if it's these, you know, interested groups and a league, if it's just these groups and you know, the city. I'm not sure who's on either side of all these meetings. The second proposal, which was the one to try and possibly attract a team, a relocating team, or demonstrate enough support to hopefully attract a investor willing to spend money on it, is the one that they're going to go with. I think we're going to hear down here shortly. I think the idea is that in August they want to try and publicize the possibility, the potential of the team coming here. and get feedback from the community, almost like a kind of like what Save the Crew is doing with their, you know, season ticket reservations. If the crew were owned by somebody different, you know, try and get a head count at least of who would be interested, who would buy tickets, who would come out to the games and be part of it, to try and present that to either teams again that might be trying to relocate or an investor interested. One thing we did get cleared up, it is Division III, USL D3 that they're shooting for. So it wouldn't be someone in direct competition with the Rowdies, because like no one down here that goes to Rowdies games wants to just give up the Rowdies to go, you know, support whatever is going to pop up down here. But if it's a Division III thing where it's something local we can kind of work on, then we're interested in that. So more info as it comes, but it sounds like this could be an interesting thing going forward. All right, Croatia versus France coming up on Sunday in the World Cup. Who I know it's early, but who do you have?
France. I know it's going to make Ryan Sudol happy, but I have to go. I've been quietly rooting for France because of the sheer fact I took 4 years of France and been sort of a Francophile since. But I think, you know, that team is just fun. Like, Mbappe is great. Kante, you know, Pogba, Umtiti. They're a fun team. I love watching them. Also, Croatia are a bunch of criminals.
I think France is going to win, but I would like to see Croatia win just because I want to send that certain graphic to Sudol. I don't want him being happy. We can't have that. It's not okay.
I mean, I guess he deserves a little bit of happiness every now and again.
I mean, we're mentioning him on the show. Isn't that enough?
Is it enough for anybody?
It should be, for him at least. All right, so preview. We've got Rowdies versus Cincy. I'm actually, as soon as we wrap this up, I'm going on with the Cincinnati Soccer Talk guys to talk about this game as well. So I'm kind of doing some show within a show prep here. But this is the first time we've played Cincinnati this year. I'm not going to go over all their roster moves since last year, because we're 17, 16, 17, 18, in some cases, games into the season. We know what they've got. We know what they've been able to do. And we said back in the beginning of the year, I don't remember if it was our show or if it was a USL show or something. Or I think we even said it on that live show we did in the preseason. The big question was going to be, how were all these guys going to work together? You know, you changed a whole lot of the roster. Is it going to work? Well, the answer, I guess, you know, it's yes. Their plan is working very well right now. 10-3-5 on the year. Plus 14, the goal differential, leading the East right now by a point. Second overall in the league. Monarchs are still ahead of them. I know they were at 37 points last week. I'm not sure where they are now. But it's definitely working. So I kind of, and I think this is what you're referring to, me leveling up the notes here. I kind of screenshot and stuck in some graphics rather than type a bunch of this stuff out. A quick comparison between us and them. They've played one more game, have 9 more goals, 35-26, 14 more shots on target, 92-78, right around 50% shooting accuracy, 44% for us, 18.7% conversion rate, 14.5 for us, 23 assists and 16 for us. So the big thing they were looking to do, I think, was bring in more goals and score more goals at least, and that seems to be working for them. From these stats, from their goal differential, from their win total so far, they've got a pretty talented attack, and the defense is the one area that we're holding together with duct tape right now. So what's your feelings on that?
Cincy is definitely vulnerable. We've seen them, you know, draw. I think they drew Toronto FC 2. They've lost to some surprising teams, and you can nick some points off of them. I think it'll be an uphill climb for us, but I think we're still kind of going in under the radar with, you no longer know how Neil's going to line up, especially with the changes coming this week. It works in our favor. You can't game plan for something you don't know. You know what I mean? So we might be able to nick a point or all three off them. But looking statistically, they're also statistically looking at their defense. They're a little, you know, they're just they're a little shaky, but not as shaky as us.
No, I mean they've given up three fewer goals. They've kept three more clean sheets. We've both teams have faced an equal number of shots. Tackle wise, we're pretty similar. Success rate, we're a little bit above. Well, I guess about 10% higher than them. They're better on duels and dual success rates. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I don't want to put all of this, and I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm thinking Poku's going to come in here and it's going to be like Cristiano Ronaldo coming to the Rowdies instead of Juventus, where he's just going to, you know, tear the place up and be a one-man wrecking ball. But he's an X factor because you really don't know what he's going to be. I mean, he's an X factor for us as well. We don't know exactly what he's going to do, but I at least hope he's the kind of guy that's going to make people around him better, because they're going to have to game plan and defend him differently than some of the guys. And that might create more opportunities on offense for some of the guys who haven't had the more chances so far. As far as their style of play, they've completed about 1,200 more passes than us. But again, with an extra game played, that's, you're not averaging 1,200 passes a game, but we are going to expect to see some higher numbers. Accuracy of passing is pretty close, 78% of them, 77% for us. Successful crosses, similar numbers, 61 to 64. They're slightly more accurate with their crosses, have had a couple more successful dribbles, and the percentage rate is up there well. They do get a lot of cards, kind of similar to us in certain games. Their captain, Deco Kainen, is on a yellow card caution. Georgie is still on as well. Would have been nice if we could have snuck Georgie in for like 5 minutes last week so he could get it counted as a game without a yellow. I don't know if it works that way. I'm assuming it does. Like, yeah, is there a certain amount of time you have to play in order to get it for that count as a game without a yellow?
I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's a certain amount of minutes. Otherwise, I would do that too. In stoppage time, just like, oh, we got like 2 minutes left. Hey, get out there. You know,
yeah. You want to make a prediction for this one? I know what I'm going to say because they want me to do predictions on the Cincy one. So I know what I'm going to say. What do you think?
For the first time in a while, I'm going to go negative and say we lose this 3-1.
I'm going with the same number of goals scored, but I'm going with a 2-2 draw.
I'm glad you're for once you're a little bit more optimistic.
No good reason why, except that, you know, we've never lost to Cincinnati. We've beaten them here. We've drawn them. I'm not going to count the preseason game. We've drawn them there. So I don't know. Just going to keep in that good vibe going. Patron question. Jeff sent us two last week, and even though he's off in England, jinxing the England national team, we will answer his second one today. I kind of updated a little bit, so it was more relevant for today than last week. But this is a question we've been talking about a little bit between ourselves. I mean, out in the open since it happened, but also behind the scenes as well, too. Looking at goalkeeping stats, Akira has a lower save percentage and a higher goals against average than Cody does, plus his blunder versus Toronto. I think it was ultimately ruled an own goal on Akira. Should he continue to start? So I put the stats down here in our show notes. We can take a look at it. They've made almost an equal number of appearances. Akira's made one more, 9 for Akira. Eight, actually, I might have that backwards. It might be 8 for Akira and 9 for Cody. Hold on 1 second. Let me look and see because I have this written down here. Yeah, it's 8 for Akira and 9 for Cody. So okay. I think we're at the point where we can kind of judge them on their body of work because they've played a similar number of games. Both have conceded 12 goals. Cody has faced more shots in one more game, 40 to 27, has more saves, 28 to 15, with a save percentage of 70% to Akira's 55.6, so rounded up to 56. Akira's kept one clean sheet. Cody kept three catches, which that's not a huge stat, but I threw it in there anyway. 7 catches for Akira, 4 for Cody. One punch by Akira, punched the ball away. Cody hasn't punched any away all year. One drop each for either of them. Cody did save one penalty and had two clearances versus seven. I mean, there's a lot of different stats here. The one I'm going to kind of look at, number one, they've conceded an equal number of goals, and Akira did it in fewer games. Cody has more saves and a significantly higher save percentage.
I think that's the key for me, is the shots faced in saves, right? Like that save percentage. Because you could say we were stronger early on in the home games, you know, that Cody was playing. And we've, you know, Akira came in a period of tumult and, like, it's not going. But at the same time, he's faced, what is that, like 13 less shots?
Mm-hmm.
In has made, you know, 13, well, because he's not going to, at his save percentage, he's not going to save all 13. So, like,
right.
It's, there's the one glaring thing that, I mean, Neil mentioned about why he made the switch was Akira was better with his feet and, like, distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But is that a trade-off you're willing to make? And I don't think I am, because I don't think it was that noticeable difference between Akira and Cody.
No, I mean, there is. You do have the one standout thing. The goal from last week starts with an Akira free kick that Bonomo flicks on. Flemings gets it and puts it in. But that's the only one that jumps out to me recently in these last eight games as far as where that's contributed positively for us.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, Akira's great. He's like a great guy. And, he's a solid keeper, but Cody, in my opinion, from what I've seen at this point in the season, Cody should be the clear number one.
I think so, too. The other thing, and I didn't put this in the notes, but I'll read this off for you. I did a list of the teams that they've faced. Cody was in goal against North Carolina, against Bethlehem, against Louisville City, against Ottawa, against Red Bull 2, against Real Monarchs, against Charleston, Penn FC, and Richmond. Akira came in versus Pittsburgh, Toronto, Atlanta, Nashville, Penn FC, Charlotte, Toronto, and Louisville. So they both faced Louisville. They both faced Penn FC. We lost all four of those games. Akira had the benefit of facing Toronto twice.
And he blundered against them. I mean, well,
and remember, you know, they've conceded an equal number of goals, and Cody had it was the five against New York.
I was just gonna say, outlier.
Gave up a game with a five spot, and you still had, in one more game, have the same number of goals conceded as the other guy. Like, everything to me says it should be Cody.
Yes, I mean, on paper, eye test for me is Cody as well. And this is, again, nothing against Akira. I just think that Cody should be the number one at this point. And
no, yeah, I have no personal grudge or anything against Akira. I'm glad we have him. He's an outstanding choice to have. He's a good keeper. But I think, Neil said it in the post game on Saturday. The players pick the team, referring to their efforts during the week dictate who gets put on the field. And who gets put into the lineup. I haven't sat down and watched training since, I haven't gone this year at all yet. I might be able to go next week. We'll see. But now you've got kind of an equal amount to compare it to. I think it's gotta be Cody. I really do.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I don't know. In the training I've been to, Cody is intense. It's not like he slacks off or anything. He's intense. It was right after a game they got home from a road match, and Akira was on the other side of the field stretching, doing yoga and things. But Cody was, with the guys who didn't play and was very intense. So I don't know. I think when it comes to keeper, it's a preference thing. If it's me, you give Cody the shot now. I mean, see what happens, and then go from there.
I was even kind of surprised he didn't get a chance against Toronto, at least, to come out and play and see what he's got.
I mean, we already know we got nine games of it, but still, like, it's just on paper, eye test, everything to me just says Cody Mizell. He was solid last year. like more than solid last year. How you keep that on? I mean, Akira was good on filling in for Matt Pickens for us, but Cody Mizell outperformed, you know, Matt Pickens last year. Now Matt Pickens.
Yeah, I mean, Cody was brought here because he was one of the, you know, top rated goalies in the league. So
right, and you don't put him on the bench, you know, like yeah. But what do I know? I'm just some idiot drinking PBR.
I mean, this is the one thing that I, ever since the coaching change and the, you know, we've had some roster changes and lineup changes and everything. This is the one that still, and again, like, not that anyone should take my my thoughts over Neil's. Like, he's got a coaching license and I have a driver's license, but this is the one that just hasn't made sense to me the most. This is the one that I would argue about. Everything else, I'm like, okay, give him a chance. I can see where he's trying to do this or trying to do something different. But this is the one that just I have not been able to figure it out.
Yeah, same. And, you know, I trust Neil's vision and his football intelligence, his managerial style, all that. He knows this game way better than I could ever. But that doesn't mean he's perfect. Or will always make that right coaching decision. And, you know, he's a young manager, and give it a chance. Let's see. I'm interested to see what happens and if a change ever does happen the rest of the season. I don't think Neil's afraid of change, obviously.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens, or if he keeps pushing Akira to maybe, you know, raise his game a bit. Who knows?
I'm going to, you know, talking about changes, I'm going to be interested to see if there's some changes to the lineup because of Poku, like not just him coming in, but maybe some other players who haven't been in or haven't started recently going out there and seeing what parts work best with him in place in the middle now instead of Marcel.
Yeah, I am still, you know, desperately wanting you know, a certain new signing to get a start.
Just say it. You know you want to.
No, I'm just, I think, I think it's well known if people listen. I think it's well known on what bandwagon I've hitched myself to, even though he hasn't had a start yet.
All right. Anything else we got to say about any of that stuff?
No, sir.
All right. Patrons, if you want to get your questions in, we can answer them on the next few shows. Get them in before Saturday, and we could do it at the live show, maybe.
Oh yeah,
I feel like we should talk about that.
I forgot about that. I totally. Yeah. I mean, I haven't planned anything, but I totally forgot about that.
We will be live at Mickey Quinn's again on Saturday. Watch party up in Seminole for the game. And we'll be on air shortly after the conclusion, so like 9:30, 9:45, somewhere in there, doing a live post-game show. So come on out and hang out with us, have some food, have some drinks, and we'll have a good time.
Yeah, let's party. Let's party. It'll be fun. I love it down there.
There's an event up on our Facebook page if you want to find the address or find out more information or ask questions about it. And we'll hopefully see you guys. I mean, there was a good turnout last time. Probably like, what, 10, 12, 15 people, something like that?
Yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed all of it. So let's raise that number. There's kicking the grass on tap. The food was good.
The food was excellent. I haven't been to Seminole in God knows how long. Because I live down in Sarasota. But, yeah, I was really impressed with the place.
I've never been to Seminole that I know of. So that was my first time.
All right. We'll see you guys out there on Saturday. We love yous. Who do you got, Dan?
Oh, boy. Let's see. The Tampa Bay Rowdies, just in as a whole organization. Like, this year has been quite crazy. And just know you are loved and appreciated, and you are all beautiful people.
You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people support you. Exactly. I thought you were going to go with Coheed and Cambria, you know, with your most unappreciated band, or under-recognized, I think you said.
Yeah. I mean, I was drunk, so I meant underappreciated.
But I have to agree with you, because if I saw them in concert, I wouldn't know which one was Coheed and which one was Cambria.
Listen, okay, you would appreciate this fact. Like, they're lumped in with that early 2000s, like, emo scene. But they're a band that, you know, is a little harder, but their whole thing is Coheed and Cambria are, it's like a sci-fi love story that takes place over the, and they tell the entire story over the course of their albums, and they started in the middle, quite like Star Wars, and then, like, gave you the middle, the end, and then the beginning, I believe. So it's not like emo where My Girlfriend Left Me, I Want to Cry, like the most of the music I listen to. It's actually like, they even, I think, did comics for a while for their first two albums to tell the story more in a better way. Well, not in a better way because it doesn't get much better, but in a way that is easier to understand, I guess, than the music. But so, yeah, like just that whole concept is just mind blowing to me. And it's so good. It sounds great. And I absolutely forgot how much I loved Coheed and Cambria.
So it's kind of like the emo version of Queensryche's Operation Mindcrime album.
Yeah, and they're doing it like they did it. It's let's see, I don't even know how many albums they have at this point. But they did. Let's see, Second Stage Turbine Disaster was the first one. Keeping in Silence, there, and Welcome Home was four. Was two part. So they probably got like six albums out, and I think that might have fully told the whole story. They did, but it's just. It's was so, I mean, refreshing at the time when everything was just about feelings, and they came out and they were different, and they were a bit harder rock than what I did at the time. Not saying they're, you know, like anything crazy, but it's so good, man. The Welcome Home album, which four I think it is one of it's just so dang good.
It sounds like they're like a living Netflix series.
Yeah, and he kind of sounds like what's his name from Rush, the singer of Rush. I can't think of the name right now.
No, but that reminded me of another tweet I saw that was funny earlier today. Someone said, "Have you ever read Tom Sawyer?" And they said, "No, but I love the song."
There you go.
All right, my We Love You. I'm going to throw it there. We know of at least one fan. Who hopped on a plane today, made the trip to Cincinnati. Our buddy JD, who I believe is our newest patron, and at the level where he can ask some patron questions. So partially because it's a good segue to the next part, but partially because we always appreciate people jumping in and helping us out, especially going on the road. So have a good time. Come back with some stories. We'll talk to you soon. If you'd like to be as cool as JD and be a patron of the show, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. There's donations at all different levels, or you can make up your own. Are we going to officially throw the sushi thing in there?
We'll talk about that a little bit more on the side. That's up to you.
I think like that's the closest thing I have to you and nachos or poutine.
Then yeah, let's throw it out there. Let's do it.
Like that's one where I start to like physically quiver a little bit when I think about it, as opposed to intestinally quiver like it is with Chipotle. All right, so if we'll go in there, we'll make it another goal, whatever the next level is, and see if we can get ourselves pushed up there a little bit. You can give us a rating and review wherever you hear this: Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, wherever you can. It's a good thing. We appreciate it. Thank you, as always, to Wolf Faith for the theme music, Radio St. Pete for letting us do this, Shamrock for being there for us, along with Mickey Quinn's, and Big Storm for making frosty cold beverages that we can put into our bodies on occasion. And thanks especially to our sponsor at Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Dan, I'll see you on Saturday. It takes an away game for me to actually see you on game day nowadays.
Hey, listen, okay, I had every intention of going 4th of July, but I forgot half the stuff I needed and then got drunk. Coheed and Cambria and Taking Back Sunday awaited this past weekend. And next weekend, I am celebrating my birthday with my closest friends and a big green egg. Well, most of my closest friends and a big green egg.
Are you putting them in the big? Are we going to hear like some Florida man stories? Florida man cooks friends, slowly cooks friends for birthday.
No. I'm as of now, it's a brisket that will be made because I'm Jewish and I feel like that's, you know, how we celebrate. But
I thought you were going to say bris for a second there, and I was like, you're kind of a little bit old for that, aren't you?
Yeah, a brisket, and you know, we'll see how it goes. I'm gonna keep looking to see if I get any other ideas, but so we're gonna have I'll have the Rowdies game on in my house. I will watch as much as I can because you don't need to stay on top of a Big Green Egg; they stay pretty stable. So yeah, I should actually dinner should be done by then. So we'll see. I'll be after that the 28th. I will. Barring any unforeseen things, I will be there on the 28th.
Sure. All right, let's wrap it up. I'll see you on Saturday. And if you guys come out to Mickey Quinn's, we'll see you too. If not, give us a listen, or we'll put it out there as a podcast later, just like we do with this one. All right, talk to you guys soon. See ya.
Peace.
The Rowdies were here, the Rowdies were there, they kicked the wall.